Welcome, this is the Sales IQ Podcast. My name is Luigi Prestoninzi, and I'm on a mission to help salespeople be the best sales professionals they can be. Each week, we'll bring you a different message from thought leaders from around the globe, so we can help you master the art of selling. Welcome to another episode of the Sales IQ Podcast. I'm your host, Luigi Prestoninzi, and as always, I'm pumped, honored, and excited that you have joined us for what will be a giving episode. This week we're joined by Bob Berg. He is a living legend of the personal and professional development industry. He has trained thousands of people in the concept of giving. He's the author of The Go-Giver. He's the author of a number of books, but The Go-Giver philosophy is all about giving. It's all about sending love, giving to the world. And in doing so, you will receive the benefit. And it doesn't talk about that. And the actual book itself, it's an incredible story and one which we will share in the show notes afterward. But if you haven't read the book, I would advocate that you go and read the book. And now more than ever, during times that are, for many, are quite tough, the reality is we've got to be giving. We've got to be building relationships. We've got to be building networks. We've got to be out there because these times will pass. And what I love about Bob is, you know, he's just a humble guy. And I've enjoyed his concepts and theories for many years. So I can't wait to bring you this episode. But before we get into it, guys, don't forget, like, share, rate wherever you listen to your podcast. And continue to share the love about how we are impacting you on a daily basis. So before we get into it, we have a message from our sponsors, Vanilla Sauce. So guys, for all of you out there, for most sales professionals, we are all using a CRM. You know, CRM was designed for managing relationships. However, sales engagement is designed for starting them. Now, current stats indicate that sales reps only contact new leads about 50% of the time and make less than 2 attempts to contact them, and are only about 35% productive. CRM is the wrong tool to engage sales prospects. VanillaSoft is a sales engagement platform like no other. It allows you to rapidly turn marketing qualified leads into sales qualified leads. So guys, if you're using another sales engagement platform, stop right now and head over to VanillaSoft.com. Get yourself a free trial because it will help you close more deals. It will help you have more conversations so you can get more opportunities in your pipeline and close more deals. So thank you to the team at VanillaSoft for bringing you this podcast on how to close more deals. So guys, I'll shut up now so we can get into this episode of giving. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, thanks. It's so great to be with you.
Man, I'm very excited. This is a bit of a milestone for me because obviously, you know, your book and your philosophies have had an incredible impact on my career with a couple of other key thought leaders, mate. So I really, really, really am grateful for you joining me on our Sales IQ podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's really an honor to be with you.
So, mate, before we get into the concept of, you know, go-giving and some of the laws and principles that you've built your career and taught thousands of others around the world, would love to know how you started in the world of sales.
Actually began in broadcasting and sort of graduated into sales.
Yeah.
And at first I really kind of floundered because I had no training in the company where I started. Let's just say their training was negligible at best. And when I say negligible, I mean it was non-existent. So I had to figure it out on my own, and that's not really my strength, figuring things out on my own. And so really for the first few months, I didn't do very well. But then I was in a bookstore. This is almost 40 years ago now. And there were books by Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins, who at that time, of course, were the two, you know, biggest names. And I got their books and I studied them. And I mean, I really studied them. Really within a few weeks, my sales began to rise dramatically. And it really encouraged me. I realized that if you have a system for doing something, methodology, then as long as you're willing to learn and apply it, there's nothing that's going to stop you. And to this day, I would personally define a system as the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. Yeah. In other words, the key is predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired result of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and continue to do A and continue to do A, and you'll get the desired result of B. And what I learned from those two gentlemen really helped me to do that. Yeah. And from there, I just began to get every book and every back then they were tapes, not even CD programs, but tapes on sales. And you and I were talking about the importance of listening to audios and listening again and again and again. And that's what I would do. And also one of the great things about being in the world of sales, which was really, again, it was a new world for me. Mm. But I realized that it wasn't just learning how to sell. It was also the personal development aspect that you needed to build yourself on the inside, and the success was going to manifest on the outside. So I began to get all the books that at that time were the ones that you, that everyone in sales got, which today, hopefully people still read books like How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Magic of Thinking Big, Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, Psycho Cybernetics, and all those books. And I just, love the whole process.
Yeah.
And so that was really my start in sales.
Yeah. Well, judging by your background, we can see that books have had an impact on you. And I'm a big, I love my books. And I think, there's been a couple of books that have really hit me over time. And obviously How to Win Friends and Influence People is a book that I read every single year. I do it at the start of the year because it's a great reminder. And every time I read it, I say this, it smacks me in the face, because there's there's just something in that I go, yes, and I've been missing it. And, just the power of not giving any negative feedback, right? Just leading with absolute positivity. And the other book that I absolutely love, Bob, I think you appreciate this, is Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World.
That was my first book I read outside of Ziggs and Tom Hopkins. That was my first, book that it was sales, but it wasn't so much the how-to. It was more that was my first outside of Ziggs and Tom.
Yeah, I love that. No,
I got to appear with him on stage a couple of times before he passed.
Yeah.
And we found out we were from the same hometown.
Oh, wow.
It was really neat. Yeah, but he was a real hero of mine and just a nice, nice man, very humble man. And it was really an honor to get to be his opening act, as I like to say, a couple of times before he passed.
Yeah, and did you get to, ever be on stage with see Tom Hopkins or Zig Ziglar or, Jim Rohn or anyone like that?
I had the opportunity to be on stage with all of them.
Wow!
At one time, in fact, at one time I was myself and a business partner. We were holding an event in Orlando, Florida, where we had all sorts of speakers come in, and one of them was Zig. And this was Zig the last couple of years, but he had a brain injury that he had basically lost a short-term memory. So either his daughter Julie or his son Tom would be on stage with him. So at this event, it was actually Tom, his son, and Mrs. Ziglar, the famous redhead, from his audios and books. And afterwards, Mrs. Ziglar told me that was the only time during Zig's entire career that she was on stage.
Oh, wow. With him. Yeah.
So that was an honor for me, certainly, just to have the great man on stage and also to have his wonderful family on stage.
I think a lot of the listeners that listen to my podcast, Bob, I'm a big believer in mindset, a big believer in personal development. And I think, that's what I love about today. I think, salespeople coming through the ranks today, the access they've got to information is incredible. Like, you can jump on YouTube and type in Earl Nightingale and listen to an old clip and you're just like, it's gold. Mm-hmm. Access we have to absolute gold, I call it gold, it's priceless, right? Yeah. Which, back in the day, you'd have to go to the bookstore, and I remember picking up one of my first sales books was The Sales Bible, and Jim Cathcart's
Relationship selling, you know. So
that was a great book. Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is why I keep saying, like, we have access to so much information today, podcasts, YouTube, videos, link. There's so much out there. And I think, you know, we've got to go back to the basics and look at, well, what are the messages that, you know, if we look at How to Win Friends and Influence People, the book's, you know, nearly 100 years old, right? The concepts in that book are even more relevant today. Right, when you actually think about it. And I think the message in selling gets lost is to that, you know, crush it, quotas, sales, you know, growth. When we kind of forget that that personal development, that mindset component is the foundation that we build everything on top of.
Well, you think of with Mr. Carnegie's book.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the underlying premise of his book was where he said that ultimately people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. And that's so true. It's human nature. And understanding that is so important. And you may recall, because we first met in person at the Outbound event, didn't we?
Yes, that's correct.
Last year.
Yep.
And one of the things I said from stage was that nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to me. Right. And then everybody laughed, and we all laughed because we know that's absolutely true. They're not going to buy from us because we need the money, and they're not even going to buy from us because we're a really nice person who believes in what we do. They're going to buy from us because they believe that they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so.
Yep.
And in a free market-based economy, and when I say free market, I simply mean no one is forced to buy from anyone, okay?
Yep.
In a free market-based economy, that's the only reason why anyone should buy from you or from me or from anyone else, because they believe they'll be better off. And what that does is it creates the context where the salesperson understands that if they're going to be successful and if they're going to be sustainably successful, they need to place their focus on bringing immense value to that other human being. You know, when I talk about selling, and you know, you and I talk about selling, and say, well, what is it? What is selling really? And so many people have a misperception about selling. They think it's trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need.
Yep.
Well, we know that's not selling. That's called being a thief or a con artist, right? So what is selling? Well, I would define selling as simply discovering what the other person wants, needs, desires, and helping them to get it. That's selling. And that ties into Mr. Carnegie's principle that he talked about in the book. That, you know, it's going to happen. This, if a sale is going to take place, it's going to take place because they believe there's a benefit to it. That's why John David Mann, my awesome co-author of the Go-Giver, why we say that money is simply an echo of value.
Yeah.
Right? Money is an echo of value. It means the value must be communicated first, right? Yeah. That must come first. The money you receive is a very natural result of the value you've provided.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's right. The financial component is not the focus of the conversation, right? And if it does become the focus of the conversation, it means as a sales professional, we haven't positioned the value, or we haven't helped the customer realize the impact of the solution so they don't see the value. So I think that that's an amazing quote, that money is an echo of value. So I want to really ask you about this because, you know, you're a product of the product. And you talk about go-giving, and that book's an amazing book, and there's been other iterations of that book, and you've got some other concepts, right? But in that book, you talk about a number of laws. And when we think about giving, because I think now in the world of social, you know, we're living in a world where there is a lot of content that's being put out, and people think, oh, I'm creating content and I'm giving, right? But one of the laws that I really think about a lot when I'm about to produce some content is the law of authenticity. And are you able to share with us why that law of authenticity is so important from the go-giving theory?
Sure. So let's look at basically at the premise of what the go-giver is, just so that there's not a misunderstanding yes. of what we mean.
Yep.
Because we're not talking about, you know, you give yourself away or you don't make a profit or you're some doormat or something like that.
Okay? Yeah.
It simply means the basic premise of the go-giver way or philosophy or what have you is simply that shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well.
Mm.
Not for some way out there woo-woo kind of reasons. It actually makes logical, rational sense. Why? Because when you're that person who takes the focus off of yourself and places it on making other people's lives better, okay, people feel good about you. People want to get to know you.
Mm.
They like you. They trust you. They want to be a part of your life. They want to do business with you. They want to refer you to others and so forth. And so, which only, again, only makes sense because they to the degree you make someone else's life better, well, you know, obviously they feel better about you
yeah.
and they trust you more. And so that's the, you know, that's where it begins. And there are five laws, and one of them is the law of authenticity. That's the fourth law. Mm. And it says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself.
Yep.
And in the story, because the go-giver is a parable,
yep.
One of the mentors, Deborah Davenport, she shares a lesson she learned early in her business career. And that is that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills,
yeah. as
important as they all are, and they are indeed all very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true authentic core. Okay. Now, when you do, when you show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, and this is online or offline, both. When that's the case, people feel very comfortable with you. They feel very safe with you. They know what to expect. They know what they're going to get. There's a consistency.
Yeah.
There's an integrity. And they're much more likely to want to be in relationship with you.
Mm.
And they're much more likely to want to know more about what you do. And they feel better about you and about themselves and about and so forth. So that's why. So, the question, though, is if being authentic is so powerful, why do some people not show up that way, right? Why do they show up very inauthentically? And we might think, well, because they're dishonest or they want to pull one over on us. And of course, it's a big world. There are plenty of people
yep.
like that. We've got to be aware of that. But that's not usually the case. 99.9 times out of 100, if someone does not show up authentically, it's because they really don't have the self-confidence to do so.
Yeah.
They don't recognize their true value, both their intrinsic value and their market value.
Mm.
That combination of strengths, traits, talents, and characteristics they bring to the marketplace that allows them to add value to other people's lives in a way that they'll be financially rewarded. And that's why you see so many people who kind of, they try to copy other people's styles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it really doesn't work because you can't be that person. You know,
yep.
you can learn from that person. And we always say, you know, who is wise? That person who learns from others, from all others. But what we need to do is adapt their wisdom, but don't try to adopt their personality.
Absolutely.
Right? Adapt their wisdom, but stay true to your own authentic core. You know, I love Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins and Jim Rohn and Dondi Scumaci and Lisa Copeland. And I mean, there's so many
yeah.
who I learned from all of them. I love them. I mean, I just think they're fantastic, but I couldn't try to be any of them. It just wouldn't work. Okay. I can only be the best me I can be. And it's the same with you. And it's the same with everyone
yeah.
else. Learn from everyone, but don't try to be them.
Yeah.
There's also one other thing, Luigi, that if I can bring up about authenticity, and I think people confuse it sometimes with two things. I think one, they confuse authenticity with, well, that's just who I am, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
not a good philosophy if you're looking to, you know, Absolutely. Well, win friends and influence people, right? Because, you know, it's like that, sort of like the person who says, well, I have anger issues and I yell at people a lot. And if I were to act any differently, that wouldn't be authentic of me. That's baloney. That's malarkey. It's hogwash. It simply means this person has an authentic problem.
Yep.
That they need to authentically work on in order to become a higher, more effective, authentic version of themselves. Mm-hmm. So I like to say, you know, don't use authenticity as an excuse to live at a lower level of consciousness. Instead, utilize authenticity to tap into the highest version of yourself. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, you know, this is awesome because I spent a lot of time on, you know, the DISC or the social styles, and there was a couple of great books from Dr. Tony Alessandra from San Diego, right? The Platinum Rule.
Oh, he's fantastic.
You know, incredible. Because I found, you know, I was a young sales guy, very energetic, you know, I'm very intense when I sell. And for some people, they like it. For others, they don't. And so I was finding that my sales that I wasn't winning was a result of my style. And so I could do one of two things. I could continue on, keep making the same mistakes, or learn to adapt my style.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm very proud, I think, over the fact that in the last, you know, 13, 14 years, I've been able to adapt my style to a point where my weak style, I can adapt it to that I can really build relationships with high analytical people because I'm a high I, right? And it's only recently, Bob, about a couple of weeks ago, I actually found myself in a position that I hadn't found myself in about 15 years or 13, 14 years, where I got so excited, right, with a prospect that I completely, I think I scared him off, right? And I got the feedback, you know, last week. I think it was last week. And I sat back and I thought, holy shit. You know, when you think you're actually at a point of, and I was being authentic, but it was not about me being authentic. It had nothing to do with me. And I sat there going, well, you know, do I change? Do I, you know, and I think what you're talking about is really important. I can't change the energetic side of who I am, right? I cannot change that component of what makes me who I am because that's unique, right? That's me. I live my values. But I can adapt and I can be aware, and this is where that EQ comes into it. There's a characteristics and behavior traits that I'm exhibiting that is not making the other person comfortable. And I think that's where a lot of confusion comes in with that authenticity. And that's why I like what you've spoken about, is still be you, but adapt the style to make sure you're accommodating others.
Well, you know, I mean, Tony Alessandro talks about that and Jim Cathcart in the Platinum Rule. Mm. I mean, it is about the other person. And again, it doesn't mean you're changing yourself. You're no less honest, right? You're no less caring. You're no less empathetic. At the same time, you're adapting to another person's style because it's about them and you want them to be comfortable. You're creating that context. Mm. And so, and then the other thing I think people confuse authenticity with is transparency.
Mm.
Is transparency good? Well, again, it depends on the situation. Transparency is good in that you should not fib, obviously, and so forth. But transparency doesn't mean unfiltered either. Okay. And so, you know, when I hear people saying certain things and doing certain things that are just inappropriate, but I'm being transparent. Let's look at that then. Let's say you're on a sales appointment. Your back is really hurting you, okay? You're going to go to the chiropractor later, but your back's really hurting you. Now, you're with a client, and you know this person, let's say in this case it's a he. He is very much, he's formal. He doesn't really like small talk. Mm. He doesn't really care about you. He wants to get down to business. That's what he does. That's just who he is, okay? He'll say, hi, how are you? But he kind of just expects you to say, fine, how are you? And that's it. Then you get to business.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if you're going to be really transparent And he says, how are you? You say, oh, I got to tell you, my back is just killing me. I didn't sleep and all that, right? Okay, that would be transparent, but it would be inappropriate because he's not the type of person that you would do that with. Engage. Now, with me, if I'm the client, yeah, I do want to know.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to empathize with you. And we're going to talk about that for 5 minutes before we get into this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but when you're with your chiropractor later and he or she says, how are you feeling? Well, now it's very appropriate to talk about your bad back. So I'm just saying that authenticity is always great. But we want to remember authenticity is not an excuse to be a lesser self. It's a reason to go into a higher self.
Absolutely.
Transparency is by and large a good thing, but it's situational.
Yep.
There's times it's just, you know, not right. And you can, you know, if you're the type who likes to swear, you might swear with your friends, but not in front of your grandma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just there's different times and places. And so, you know, we need to sometimes, I think, redefine sometimes what people think.
Absolutely, you know, Bob. I completely agree. And so out of the other laws that, you know, because obviously limited, I'd love to talk about every single law, but out of the other laws and the go-giving principles, what would be, in your opinion, one of the key laws that, you know, apart from authenticity, that we must follow to create that go-giving methodology and also ensure that we're echoing value?
Well, I think the law of influence is is another important one because, you know, when you, we define it, John and I define it in the book as, you know, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first.
Yep.
But, you know, that sounds counterintuitive when you first hear it, right? You know, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first, right?
Yeah.
Sounds kind of Pollyanna-ish. But you think about it, the greatest leaders that you know, the top influencers, the highest money earners, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always looking for ways to make it about the other person, right? To bring value to them. Now, again, and I alluded to this earlier, when we say, but when we say place the other person's interest first, we don't mean that you should be a doormat or martyr or self-sacrificial. Absolutely not at all. It's understanding, however, that, and this is, you know, Joe, the protege in the story, learned several of the mentors, the golden rule of business, of sales, of networking is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like and trust.
Yeah.
And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others, from others, than by genuinely and authentically moving from that I focus or me focus to that other focus. And when you become known for that, Luigi, you become that center of influence in your area. People are your, they become your personal walking ambassadors. They see you as the go-to person. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's really, you know, that's really what it's about.
Well, that's a, you know, that's a powerful statement. I put that statement on LinkedIn a couple of months ago and it got, you know, an incredible, incredible amount of people engaged with it. About 25 reshares, you know, that particular statement for me is such an incredible statement. I keep, you know, that law of influence, putting other people's, you know, needs, you know, it's just an amazing, is amazing thing to think about. And I want to know, in your opinion, when, you know, you hear about people talk about giving, right, and leading with value, where does it go wrong?
Where does it go wrong?
Where does it actually go wrong?
So, if it does, what happens is someone will say, well, Bob, but I've been giving and giving value and I've been doing this. And here's my question. Okay. Because first, let's define value, right? As opposed to price, because price is a dollar figure, right? Price is a dollar amount. It's finite. It simply is what it is. Value is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea that brings so much value to another human being, another person, that they will willingly exchange their money or their time or their, you know, what have you for this? So he says, well, but I'm giving value. But are you giving value in a way that the other person understands it to be value? Okay. And that's always the, you know, that's always the first thing I'll ask. And then when we go through it, it turns out that no, what they're doing is they're giving value as they see it as being value, which doesn't mean the other person does.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I absolutely. You know, value sits in the eye of the beholder, mate. So, you know, I completely agree with that statement.
I was going to say in the sales process, that's why asking questions, that's why the discovery aspect is so important, because we think, well, what are we doing? We're trying to discover what they need, want, and desire, right? And so how can we know if we don't ask? Correct. Because as human beings, we all come at the world from our own belief systems, our own way of seeing the world. We all have our own likes and dislikes and this and that, but we tend to think that everyone else sees the world basically the same way we do.
Yeah.
Which is intuitive. How else could it be? It's the only thing we know.
Absolutely.
But it's not true, right? But it's not true. And so what happens is, so when we're in the midst of selling, we maybe bring up something that we think is a wonderful benefit or great value or that they must love. Why? Because we love it.
Mm.
But maybe that's not what they're looking for.
We're not a lot.
Right? Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to ask these questions and really listen so that you can understand what they're, you know, what they're wanting.
So, Bob, you've had an incredible career, right? And one thing I'd love to know is, has there been a time where you were really challenged in business? And you know, if so, like, how did you overcome that from a mindset perspective?
Well, I mean, business is business. So first of all, it's tough getting it going and getting it sustainable. And then there are things that happen in the middle of it that kind of come out of nowhere that set you back and so forth. One of my difficult things was back in the kind of, I guess it was the later 90s when technology really began to, you know, this is where the internet really began to kind of come into play. And the people who had the real foresight, they were, you know, they were really on top of it. Others grudgingly changed, but I didn't, because I have always been sort of a technophobe, right? Having a fear of technology. It's never been my strong point. And so I had, at that time, I had built a very successful speaking practice, and I didn't want it to change. I wanted to keep it as it was. And, you know, I got a little bit, well, you know, my clients will stick with me and I don't need to. Well, I was wrong. Right. I thought I was more important than I was. And it set me back a couple of years. I basically had to rebuild my business. And you know, it's funny, because when you think about personal development, which is a field you and I are both in, and, you know, there's sometimes something I call the political correctness of the personal development field. And that's where we kind of look at everything as being good. Okay. As like, change is good. Change is great, because, well, you know what? I hate change. Okay. I like things. I like to learn something, get really good at it, and then keep it that way. So I don't like change. Okay. And to say otherwise, I'd be fibbing. But here's the thing. What I learned, and I shouldn't have had to learn, it's something I should have already, you know, but what I had to learn again was that it didn't matter whether I liked change. I was going to have to go with it anyway. I didn't even have to embrace it. I had to accept it. Right. Which I didn't do. So that taught me a great lesson again. It retaught me a great lesson, and so forth. But so we don't have to like change. We don't have to like anything. But, you know, it's if we're going to go here, we need to be able to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do that.
Yeah. So in order to grow, we've got to, at some point, we've got to change from the position that we're at. So that's a great learning, you know, because there are a lot of salespeople that listen to this podcast that, you know what, the world of selling is tough. You know, when we look at the statistics, 50% of salespeople are not meeting their sales targets. And that's tough. It's tough to go home when you're not meeting the requirement of your job, right? So I keep, you know, that's why I asked the question. I went, you know, and why is mindset important? And you just explained that, you know, you might not like to change, but embracing it and going on that journey is an important part of the process. So, Bob, you've had a lot of incredible mentors. You've had a lot of incredible influences. You're now one of those people that, you know, others see as from a Zig Ziglar and a Brian Tracy, etc. But has there been one single person that's really influenced your career?
I think that, well, I mean, I think my parents have influenced my life in a way that's been very positive. Having a great example.
Yep.
In terms of people skills, you know, my dad, in his business years ago, was sort of out in the public eye, even more, though it was more local.
Yep.
But so I got to see how he dealt with people and his just genuine, authentic way of bringing out the best in people and being able to have live with such gratitude and be able to really make other people feel genuinely good about themselves and encourage. And so I've been able to model that. And I think that's been probably what has helped me more than anything else.
Yeah.
As far as with speaking and so forth, I've been very fortunate that while I haven't had, you know, one specific mentor in the business, I've been able to get to know so many of them who've made themselves open to when I had questions and so forth. And just, you know, I always seem to be able to find mentors when I needed them, what I'm saying, at the time. So that has always been very helpful.
Oh, fantastic. And so, Bob, I know that we've got to come to an end, and I'm, you know, I could talk to you about this stuff all day long, but
likewise. Yeah. Well, you know, we're both students of sales and students of personal development, so those kind of conversations are fun.
And I've got some serious book envy, Bob. Man, I'm looking behind you, and those books are insane. So mate, before we,
and that's one small part of my home. I always say my house is basically books with some scattered furniture.
Yeah, I like that. I've got to turn. I've got a few books more to buy, but I'm getting there. I've got a small little collection.
No, you're a lot younger than I am. I've had a little bit of time.
So, Bob, before we conclude, where can our listeners find and connect you so we can add that to the show notes?
They could go to The Go Giver.
Yep.
Without the hyphen, The Go Giver, where there's lots of there's also Berg.com. So Berg.com is more of a speaker site. The Go Giver is more of the book and other resources.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Bob, I want to again thank you for coming on our podcast. I truly am grateful for the contribution that you've made to my career and thousands of other sales professionals and professionals globally, mate. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Appreciate you greatly.